T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's one of the problems that we have, not only here in New Orleans, but around the country. I was listening to our sister station, our intercom station in Charlotte, WBT, this morning, and former governor Pat McCrory was talking about shootings in Charlotte. And I couldn't help but notice that he said much of what we talked about yesterday on the show. Governor, welcome to WWL in New Orleans.
Oh, good to talk to my sister station. Great to talk to you.
Pat, you were talking this morning about shootings in Charlotte, and it sounded very much like the conversations that we have here on WWL in New Orleans. And it seems as if there is, regardless of the city, it seems as if there is a common denominator when it comes to the motivation that leads to random shootings, like the one that we had, a mass shooting, and 10 people were shot on Canal Street, 3:30 in the morning. Yes, I know that's late, but this was during Bayou Classic weekend. And it happens more often than it should. From your position, not only as a talk show host, but from your position as a former governor, tell us what you think the bottom line is. What's the common denominator?
Well, there are several factors that I think are happening that are taking us back to the 1990s when I was mayor of Charlotte for 14 years. I was elected mayor of Charlotte in 1995. And that time we were having 120 murders a year in Charlotte. We took it down to 35. Which is still too much, but that's a drastic decrease. And I'll tell you two or three things that are happening. One is that we're starting again to get into the trend of not prosecuting people that are breaking the law. We're just letting them out. We're arresting them and then letting them out, and then arresting them again and letting them out, and then arresting them again and letting them out. I'm not talking about just arresting the same people 5 to 10 times. I'm talking about arresting people 30 and 40 and 50 times. And we're not prosecuting them.
Well, the message there is that there's no consequence for negative behavior, which is just one of the basic tenets for a civilized society.
Not only are there no consequences, but if we did prosecute them and we did give them some jail time, then we could find out what the problem is. And, of course, a lot of these people are having issues with addiction. You know, 80% of our jails and prisons are people with addiction issues. But if we keep letting them out, they're going to go right back to addiction and crime to support their addiction. And then the other thing that's occurring is we're calling these things nonviolent crimes before they commit later a violent crime. And the definition of a nonviolent crime where we're releasing people from jail is very disconcerting and somewhat manipulative, because we go, oh, well, if it's a nonviolent crime, there must be no victims. But in every crime, there is a victim. And if, for example, if your house is broken into, you feel like you've been violated. It's a violent crime that's occurred to somebody who now lives in that house, and forever they'll remember, my house has been broken into, and it literally can take years to get over it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Or they never get over it because they know someone's been in their house and it changes their whole lifestyle. And we call that a nonviolent crime. And we have to be very careful about that. And the third thing that's happening, we're being a little deceptive nationally from the president on down to a lot of very liberal mayors, where we're saying, well, we're arresting a lot of people for nonviolent crimes, drug offenses. Actually, we aren't. We were for a while. We were arresting people and putting people in jail for marijuana. But if you look at those numbers, they're very, very low. The people that were arrested are committing larceny, burglary, assault, many other destruction of property. And sooner or later, it does escalate into something that causes, quote, physical violence. But all those other crimes create a psychological violence toward the people in that neighborhood. that's being impacted, whether it be a residential or a commercial neighborhood.
All right, if you're just tuning in, I'm Scoot, and we're talking to former North Carolina governor, former mayor of Charlotte, Pat McCrory, who is also a talk show host on our sister station, WBT, an intercom station in Charlotte. And I've just heard him say some things that are very similar to the things that we say on this show in the afternoon here on WWL. And that is that, you know, I don't think this is a police problem. There are people who say, well, you know, let's just get more police on the street. The police were, there was a number of police just feet away from the mass shooting that took place in New Orleans over the weekend. So the brazen nature of young people with guns today is quite alarming.
No doubt about it. And we ought to examine, too. You know, I was saying today, our mayor, I'm encouraging our mayor, our current mayor, to say, okay, why are these killings occurring? Does the victim often know the person they kill or shoot or assault? Do they have drug or alcohol issues? What is the age group? What is the immigration status? Is the gun they're using a legal gun or illegal gun? Do the people have permits for those guns? You know, you really need to do a deep dive on the background of each killing to see what the trend is, and therefore you put the resources toward the right thing. And the immediate thing is we need more police. But as you can see, there could be a police officer 15 yards away, and they can't stop a killing.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that you talk about what is the problem. And I've always wondered, and I've talked about this on the show, why are there not studies done on the specific reasons why people are in jail? What led them to that? Because I think if we go back, I think we're going to find socioeconomic factors that played a significant role in where they ended up. But it seems like because of the PC police, we're afraid to address that issue.
There's no doubt about it. I think the PC police won't let us look at the data. The data is there, and it reminds me of the 1990s when we just had a very sharp rise in crime between 88 and 98, where you had a crack and heroin problem. And so there, we knew what the problem was there, and we addressed it. And by the way, a lot of us did what Mayor Giuliani did, was we started dealing with it at the entry point. The very, you know, we started, even if you litter, we would do something. We would start doing things the first time it happened, even with domestic violence, which works if we arrest the person the first time for domestic violence. It you have more of an impact as opposed to waiting to the fourth or fifth or sixth time when it becomes violent, because that's what the trend showed you would happen if you do nothing the first time.
Right.
And the same thing's true with other crimes. And by the way, we're only talking about the crimes in which you're caught.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, now, but it's now, for example, in Charlotte, we have our own football team with good intentions. The Carolina Panthers are donating $100,000 to help give people bail money to get out for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. You know, that sounds so nice and so good.
Yeah.
But are we asking the victim of the crime that they may have committed? Now, they say it's nonviolent crime. You still have victims of those crimes.
So the Panthers have a campaign going on collecting money to get people out of prison for Thanksgiving.
Well, it's the Panthers are supporting an effort by a guy out of California who, by the way, has this. I'm getting more information on this guy. He was arrested many, many times, too. And there are issues with the bail system that needs to be corrected. But often when we put someone in jail, there's usually a reason for it, why the police did it. And, you know, everyone feels good. Oh, we let the person out on bail. But if that was your next door neighbor that was house was burglarized, would you go tell your next door neighbor, I just donated to the group that let the guy out who just broke into your home?
You know, I'm sure there's some people that deserve to be out, and something happened and they weren't given a fair shot, or they couldn't meet bail. So I have empathy for those people.
But I do too.
But there's a concept here that we're addressing about basically springing somebody from jail because we think that they should be home for Thanksgiving because they don't deserve to be in jail.
Well, the thing we got to find out, first of all, is this person got a drug or alcohol addiction problem or a mental health issue before you release them. Because if they do, you're not doing that person any good by releasing them. And frankly, you're not doing that person any good by just keeping them in a jail cell with 15 people either. this is where you got to put the resources toward mm-hmm. that individual, especially if it's an addiction issue or a mental health issue that you have to deal with. And I'm telling you right now, as governor and as mayor, this addiction issue with both drugs and alcohol is just compounding. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And people will do anything to sustain their addiction.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Joker?
You know what? I need to see it, but I'm reluctant to see it because it may be too disturbing for me because I've seen too many real-life situations of it.
It may be, Governor, because I saw it, and I was really moved by it. Joaquin Phoenix was just so unbelievable that you couldn't help but think that this is a person that personally relates to people falling through the cracks when it comes to mental health issues. And that's what the movie was about to me. It was about there are people out there who really do need help, and they're not getting help, and they're the ones that end up doing horrific things in our society.
Well, in my first State of the State speech as governor, when I was elected in 2012, my very first speech in front of the whole state legislature, the first thing I talked about was addiction and mental health. And literally, I think I got two people clapping. It just didn't register. But I'm telling you, whether it be in Louisiana, and I've seen, by the way, I was mayor during Hurricane Katrina, where I took two plane loads of people from New Orleans to Charlotte, and we set up shelters for them. And one of the most unique experiences of my public and political life. And a lot of the people we took had mental health and addiction issues. Yeah. We got the people that were just barely hanging on anyway. They were the ones rescued last in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. A lot of men. And I'll never forget, we had all these families wanting to come and help them. And we had to be very careful because we went, you know what? These are people who need different kinds of help, not the help that, just giving them blankets and so forth. They really needed some help. And I couldn't just release them. That was I could write a book on that where each individual has some unique needs. And this was during a hurricane that this, had a huge impact on your city. But I'll never forget in this how many of those individuals that were sent to Charlotte had problems much deeper than the hurricane.
Well, thank you for what you did for people who were struggling after Katrina. Speaking of mental health issues, what's going on with Cam Newton?
Oh, boy. Well, you don't like his scarves?
Well, that's maybe, I don't know about the, the scarves are part of it, but seriously, what's going on with Cam Newton?
Well, one issue, he's injured, no doubt about it. When you have feet problems, when you can't do a quarterback sneak and you used to run 60, 70 yards and you can't do a quarterback sneak from 1 yard, you've got some physical issues. And then I do think, you think about this guy, built 6'6", incredible athlete. Everything's been given to him in many ways, and he's been in controversy before in Auburn and so forth. I think he's a young man going through change, both physical and mental. And I hope he lands on his feet. I really do. And he's a good guy. I've met him. I've talked to him. But, these athletes, like politicians, are treated like kings at times. And then when things go down, it can have an impact on them, on their physical and mental stability. I hope he comes back for the sake of just like I hope everyone comes back after seeing tough times.
I understand.
He used to give you guys in New Orleans a little, a little tough time.
Well, he did, but sometimes he would throw the ball to our defensive backs, and we appreciated those completed passes to our team.
We did a little bit of that, too.
Well, I know it's been a disappointing year for the Panthers. Pat McCrory, former mayor of Charlotte and former governor of North Carolina, thank you for spending time with us.
Good luck to the Saints. Yeah. We hope we get one more shot at you, I think.
Yeah, you do. And the Saints have now moved into the number one seed position in the NFC because Seattle won last night. And by Seattle winning, that drops San Francisco down. And Seattle's number two, but the Saints are number one. But, yes, you do have another shot at us.
Well, congratulations, and you got a great city, and best of luck.
Pat, thanks for being with us.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.